This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
You are about to hear a 15-minute free preview of the latest bonus show to hit our Patreon-only podcast feed. Top Rope Nation Patreon members have access to multiple members-only podcasts every single month, including at least one new show each and every week. This includes new episodes of TRN Classics, TRN Unplugged, and TRN Extra. Plus, ad-free versions of our weekly flagship show, merchandise giveaways, virtual hangouts, and other benefits. So in order to support us and ensure Top Rope Nation continues well into the future, and to gain access to all of these great benefits and exclusive shows, join the Patreon page now. You can get full access for just $5 per month. Click that link in the broadcast description to learn more and enjoy this free preview of one of our latest Patreon bonus shows. What's up, everybody? It's another edition of Top Rope Nation Classics here on Patreon. Ryan Drosty, Jesse Velasquez. Hey, I didn't call you Jeremy. And Justin Joints. I don't know if Justin heard that show yet or not.
I did.
I actually edited it on the podcast. but if you watch the YouTube, you'll see me mistakenly call Jesse recently on a podcast. Jeremy. It was a wild weekend, but I am here with Jesse Velasquez and Justin, as always, to talk a little Clash of the Champions 17 from November of 1991. Jesse, how are you doing tonight?
Doing well. It's been a very slow day, so I've been conserving my energy and I'm ready to go for this evening.
Do you have a blizzard going on up there like we do?
No, but it is cold and it was 40 degrees this morning and raining. So I have not been on the road since 1 p.m. I can imagine it's like the ice rinks that I've been in on Tuesday and the one I'll be in tomorrow out there in the roads.
We had pretty much the same thing. It was raining this morning, about 40 degrees. And right now it is 10 degrees. The wind chill is definitely negative. It's gusting like 30, 40 mile per hour winds right now. And Justin, how are you hanging over there?
Still thawing out from getting home from work. I mean, it's freaking freezing out there. You know, it's funny that you said you edited out the Jeremy gaffe on the podcast version. I listened to the podcast version. You called back to it later in the episode, and I had no idea what you were talking about.
Oh, God.
There is a mention to it later on. I was like, what the hell is he doing?
That's bad on my part. I thought I was protecting myself and all I did was confuse the listeners more.
You had a long weekend and yeah, you had just gotten off of an hour with Jeremy.
Yeah, we did the whole watch along of Saturday Night's main event. And I mean, it's a Jeremy, I don't know how many times during that show. And then I almost immediately jumped on with Jesse and I'm like, hey, Jeremy, wait, what? And you're like, well, you just called me Jeremy.
We're both from Minnesota. So you have that. We have that going for us too.
Yeah, true. Listeners are like, how drunk is this man right now?
I like your beard, Ryan.
Oh, thank you.
It's been a while.
It's kind of hard to see with the lights on. It washes it out a little bit. Let me go full screen. It's coming in a little bit. Yeah. If it gets a little darker, it shows a little better, but I've been letting it go. It's cold out. Why not? I'm getting my Rocky IV look on.
There you go. A livelier Patreon chat?
We got people in the chat. Oh, okay. Very
Let's
nice.
Let's go.
Eric's here. Kevin's here. I tell you guys, I mean, we love our patrons, and they usually check us out when I post the podcast of this show within a few days because it's easier to listen to. But God dang, we love it when people join us live on these members-only shows. So this is cool to have the patrons in the chat with us as we go back in time to November 91. And I mentioned drinking. We always drink on these shows. And in fact, I got the Top Rope Nation Classics lowball glass. Yes, indeed. Got a little G&T in here. Justin, you got anything in the glass?
This is one of my, saying favorite shows of all time might be a little strong. It's one of the most important shows to me. of all time. So I broke out some McLellans for the show. Some scotch.
Very nice.
Highland. Yes. So I will be nice and toasty by the end of this bad boy, which is good because the ending of this show sucks.
Yeah. Definitely peaks before that last match. If you guys are new to our podcast, you know, this show has been around almost a decade. So a lot of you are newer. Justin's like gateway show in the, at least for the 90s of wrestling. I don't even know if that's the right term, gateway show. It was one of his all-time favorite shows was Super Brawl 2.
Yes.
Which obviously was just a few months after this. And if you go into the Patreon archives, early on in TRN Classics history, we reviewed Super Brawl 2. Definitely listen to that if you've never heard it, because Justin absolutely loves that show, and this kind of sets us on the path to that one.
Yeah, I mean, this is, even including WWF, this like 6 months of wrestling is top three time frame for me in the history of professional wrestling.
Yes. I told Justin on text earlier today, you're driving the show, man. This is this is your jam right here. But no, I mean, I got my notes.
That rattled me.
You'll be fine. I'm not even gonna say anything. I'm just gonna sit back and drink the whole time. You just carry it all. I got my usual notes, but I'll expect Justin to chime in here and there because I'm
fucking sweating bullets for the past few hours.
Well, I wasn't watching WCW at this time. Like, I've gone back and watched a lot of this stuff. We just said off air. I don't think I've ever watched this show start to finish, but I've seen a couple of the matches and segments before.
To what you were saying about, you know, it being a gateway, this was my gateway to WCW. Like, yeah. I had seen kind of bits and pieces, but this is what fully pulled me into that show. Cause you know, I was 11 at the time, you know, not really good with TV scheduling. So with wrestling, it was kind of just, if I happened to be watching and it was on, I would watch it. But it's like from the, basically the fall of 91, I was a dedicated professional wrestling fan watcher.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I said on a podcast recently, I don't think I watched any WCW until 93 that I remember, at least when I was like 9. I mean, I was through and through WWF. So I definitely wasn't watching in real time at this point. Jesse, what about you?
Minimal WCW in 1991. Yet funny enough, when watching this show, the only thing I remembered, and I think I did watch this live, was Medusa coming out of the box. That's all I remembered from the show before I viewed it again. So, nope, WWF primarily at this time, but like looking through all the annals of history and things, it's just really cool how Halloween Havoc 1991 was kind of a gateway to get us to Super Brawl 2, which I did some investigating and I have listened to. Was that like your first classic show?
No, I think the first one was SummerSlam 91, but it was probably within like the first 10, I want to say. I'll look it up right now.
I have listened to that show before, and I know that they're, and just going through the ratings and things, there's like 3 or 4 on there that are like 3.5 stars or higher, and this is 1992 we're talking about.
Yeah.
So Pillman Liger, I mean, that's one of the best matches in the history of WCW.
Yep. Yeah. There's a couple great tag matches on that show.
And you get the introduction of Liger. I'm spoiling it again in the show.
Fuck yes.
July 2019 is when we did Super Brawl 2.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that'll change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
Capacity Field, Savannah Civic Center, and Tony Five Championships will be decided.
So WCW Clash of the Champions 17 aired from Savannah, Georgia, the Savannah Civic Center. They had 6,922 fans in the building, which was a legitimate sellout. They turned fans away at the door per the Wrestling Observer newsletter. Paid attendance was between 4,000 and 5,000 fans that night. I didn't even look up what night of the week this would have been. It was like a Tuesday.
Gosh,
I look it up right now.
Yeah, I want to say Thursday, but that might be wrong.
Let's see. November 1991 calendar. So November 19th, it was a Tuesday. Tuesday, November 19th, 1991. Yeah, Savannah, Georgia.
Yeah, just to kind of give some context as to where WCW was at this point in time, they had fallen off a cliff. You know, Ric Flair had ditched them for WWF. They had to kind of do a quick title change. Lex Luger defeating Barry Windham and Luger turning heel. And kind of throughout the summer and early fall, WCW was real bad. Really in the shits. If you go back and watch any of their television or shows, it just isn't good stuff. And this is the show that turned it around. It's kind of the seeds were planted at Halloween Havoc. But as we often see when we're doing these retrospectives and we're talking about, you know, things kind of changing with a promotion, it often has to do with like an influx of new talent or new talent kind of rising to the top. And that's completely the case here. You know, Mick Foley is here now. Rick Rude is here now from Halloween Havoc. You know, Sting, in my personal opinion, is leveling up. Another guy, I don't know if anybody would recognize the name, but Steve Austin is here now. You know, it's just they had this great influx of new talent. And I think WCW's problem is they were desperately trying to be WWF, and it just felt like WWF Lite with some of the shitty gimmicks they were trying on wrestlers, very cartoonish, really getting away from their NWA roots. And I think with what was going on here and some of the talent they were pushing and the rise of the Dangerous Alliance, it started to feel more like the NWA again. It had a little bit more grit. It focused on the in-ring action and I was texting our good friend Kyle Ross last night, and he said he would be hard pressed to find a singular show in professional wrestling history that turned the tides of a promotion quite like this one did. And that's not to say this is a perfect show. I think a lot of people that just kind of watched it, they might give it like, you know, C+, B-. Mm-hmm. But it's just, again, it was about all the seeds that were planted and what it was leading up to for the next 6 to 8 months.
I had just looked when Ric Flair made his debut in the WWF, and it said September 9th of 91. I was not 100% sure when he had left. So, yeah, you're right. Those first couple of months were a big-time transition, kind of at a loss. And I think when we get to the main event, we're going to hit hard on Lex Luger a little bit for all the praise that we had given him from 88 to early to mid-90. And then now he's in this position, and we'll get to that later. It's what we think.
Yeah, Dave had mentioned in the Observer around this time when I went back and read some of these that WCW on cable was actually starting to do, they were doing some better ratings than the WWF at the time as far as cable ratings go. Now, obviously, WWF had a lot of syndication and that's not factored in. But as far as, you know, the cable ratings on the USA Network versus TBS, WCW was actually outdrawing them a little bit at this point in time. And this show did a good number. So the Clash 17 show drew a 4.3 rating, which at that time was about 2.4 million homes. And that was the best rating they had done since Clash 12 in September of 1990, which is when they were doing the Black Scorpion angle.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was a, and you know, that was the average rating. So Dave actually goes into like where the show peaked and stuff here. And we're going to talk about all these matches, of course. But he talks about how the rating did not peak during the main event, oddly enough, which was odd because for pretty much every previous Clash show, the ratings would peak for the main event. But he says here in the Observer, the audience peaked with the Steamboat and Rhodes versus Enforcers tag match,
wow,
which drew a 4.7 or 2.7 million homes. Then it fell off significantly during, unfortunately, the Pillman versus Johnny B. Bad match for some reason, but then came back to a 4.7 or 2.7 million homes for Rude versus Sting before dropping off to 4.5 for Luger and Steiner. So, yeah, I mean, the show was a big success on TBS.
You could tell in the way that the crowd reacted too, which we'll get into a bit later as well. And I just said, oh, there was a little bit of a change going on in the announcing booth of like WCW Saturday night. Tony Schiavone took over WCW main event. Lance Russell had finally been removed from commentary and moved on to the 900 WCW chat line as well. Oh, yes. So just, I know, legend Lance Russell. So they're going a little bit younger with JR and Tony Schiavone, even though both had been with the company for anywhere from, what would that be, 4 to 7 years?
Yeah. Nice. So they open the show with, you know, kind of those vintage 90s neon graphics and
very Saved by the Bell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. That's actually a perfect comparison. Even think of that. Jim Ross, Tony Schiavone welcome us. They throw a backstage where you got Eric Bischoff and Missy Hyatt. And Missy builds up the fact that she's very excited to interview Marcus Alexander Bagwell later tonight.
Did I miss that? I don't remember seeing that on the broadcast.
Yeah, it's on there. It's on there on Peacock for sure. That's how I watched
really?
It.
Really?
I missed it on Peacock too.
Yeah. I missed it somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Huh. Guarantee you. Yeah, it's for sure on there. Because when I was watching it, yeah, this was last night, and I think my wife kind of walked down. She's like, who's that lady? Who's that chick? Or something like that. It was Missy Hyatt during that opening segment. Yeah.
Who's that bird?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. So, yeah, we'll get to Missy Hyatt later and Marcus Bagwell and all that. But I was going to say, not going to be much longer. You're going to be able to watch this on Peacock.
Yeah. God, days. We're down to days.
Less than 2 weeks now. And we'll have to resort to other means to do these classic shows, at least for the time being. All right. So then, they pretty much jump right into the Lumberjack match with Thomas Rich with Alexandra York taking on your guy, Big Josh.
You know, my first note here is,
this isn't just a game, it's a once in a generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.